We are going to be looking at some disturbing videos, strange and odd news stories, and as always, let's go and get right into today's video. Make no mistake about it, we definitely have quite a few things to talk about today. For example, I'm noticing something very strange about the moon. And then, of course, we have some very disturbing AI news. And then we have information about a tick that for the very first time ever, somebody has passed away due to something it was carrying. But before we go ahead and get into any of that...
And as I finish, I wanted to come back here to Israel and let you know that I serve you as the mayor, but I want to continue to have the title that's more important to me than anything. I'm your brother. Thank you.
At what point does it stop becoming a conspiracy theory? I'm just saying, I'm not bashing anybody, not insulting anybody, but at what point do we say it's no longer a conspiracy theory? What's going on here? And this is the New York City ex-mayor Eric Adams, the same Eric Adams, along with the NYPD commissioner Edward Caban. It was announced that they became high-ranking Freemasons. But do we ever see any other United States politician going to any other country telling the people of that country, "I serve you"? I mean, have we? And I think the perfect word to describe this is askewed. For one, I like the word. You really don't hear many people saying it. And two, it just fits here. And I'm going to ask you all in the comment section, what is happening here? Before we go ahead and get into any of that, I do have to ask you all a question because something has been really bugging me. But am I the only one that has been seeing the Cheshire Moon, the Cheshire Cat Moon, the Wet Moon every single month this year? I took this photo late last night and I went to research it further and I can't get any definite information on when it's supposed to be seen. Some websites say that it's supposed to be seen in the evenings during the spring, March, April, May, and in the mornings during the fall, September, October, November. But I've also seen it in June, July, and August as well. Some websites even say that in the Northern Hemisphere, where I'm from, you're only supposed to see it in March, April, and May. But what made me want to talk about this was that I was browsing X and I ran across this post, which was uploaded yesterday. This person said the second moon, and right next to the full moon was the Cheshire Moon that I keep seeing every month. So what's really going on? And let's also not forget that we are being gaslit like crazy lately when it comes to all the news articles that are circulating by news and media talking about how Earth has a second moon. They say it's a quasi-moon, an asteroid, but they have been really ramping up those talks lately. So when more and more people start seeing the second moon or moon phases that don't belong during certain times, or the moon appearing in the sky during times it should not appear, people just say, "Oh, that's just the quasi second moon news and media have been telling us about. Do your research, do your homework." Same old song and dance. People will see something they've never seen before in their life. News and media will feed them some BS. They'll buy it because NASA said so. Just like we saw in Barack Obama's scripted movie, Leave the World Behind, obey NASA, and people are. I mean, here's another content creator into the rabbit hole who on May 2nd, 2025 made a video talking about this topic, and she found where it says that it appears predominantly in January and February.
So it's technically a phase of the moon, but from our perspective, it's usually on the side. And in the charts, it's on the side, right? So I did some digging. So here we are. The term wet moon refers to the crescent moon's appearance when it's oriented in a way that looks like a smiling face or a bowl, suggesting it might be holding water. So, a Cheshire cat smile. This occurs mostly prominently in late January and February. Last night was April 30th. It is May 1st, and I guarantee that moon still looks like this. Okay, so the Earth's slight tilt causes the angle of the crescent moon to change, leading to these different appearances. This means that wet moons are more common near the equator and become less frequent as you move further north. I live in Philadelphia. I mean, it's not Canada, but it's pretty north.
But yeah, I just wanted to ask you all, has anybody else been noticing the Cheshire Moon every month as of 2025? I get it happens during certain seasons, but every month is a little weird now. So on my last video on Seconds of Horror, I had spoken about how there's an app coming out called Two Way, very interesting name. It's being created by a former Disney Channel star, Callum Murthy. And basically what it does, let's say Meemaw or Peepaw, they do not have much longer left to live. So what they can do is they can go ahead and take a photo or video of themselves on this app, and the AI will take over and pretty much create an avatar of their likeness, even right down to their voice, their expressions, and so forth. So when they do pass away, it's basically like they did not, so you can still talk to them on the phone for many generations to come. There are many of us that believe this is demonic, including myself. You're not talking to your relative that passed away. You're basically talking to an AI Ouija board that now has your relative's form. Then you have others out there that support this, and they'll say, well, if you find this evil, this is nothing more than satanic panic. It's a big nothing. But if you notice, if you find any piece of technology, new technology, to be evil, the first thing they'll throw out is satanic panic. But the difference happens to be is that the creators of Dungeons & Dragons and so forth, they didn't call their product, their game, demonic. These creators of these AIs and these technologies, they're flat out saying it's like summoning the devil. It's a demon. It's like a tsunami of demons. So for us as the public that are saying that these technologies are demonic, it's absolutely wrong. It's satanic panic. But then you have the creators of these technologies themselves calling it demonic. Like, it makes me so angry, I want to say a curse word like Nutter Butter. Like, I can't with these people. So now what happens next, right? Now we have people talking to the dead, but now we have news articles going out like this one from Axios.com, which was published on November 12th. Meet Chatbot Jesus. Churches tap AI to save souls and time. Are you serious? Now, I'm the first one to tell you, I do not trust a lot of these churches out here. Matter of fact, I made plenty of videos talking about just that, but I trust AI even less. Continue to read the article. It says, a new digital awakening is unfolding in churches where pastors and prayer apps are turning to artificial intelligence to reach worshipers, personalize sermons, and power chatbots to resemble God. Why it matters, AI is helping some churches stay relevant in the face of shrinking staff, empty pews, and growing online audiences. But the practice raises new questions about who or what is guiding the flock. New AI-powered apps allow you to text with Jesus or talk to the Bible, giving you the impression you are communicating with a deity or an angel. I'm sure a lot of these people are indeed communicating with an angel, just not the angel they think. Because this is my own personal opinion that this is indeed fallen tech. It's been here for a long, long time, much longer than any of us realize, much longer than what they are telling us. You honestly think Sora 2, OpenAI, Grok, and all these chatbots we think are just mind-blowing technology, you honestly think this is new technology for the so-called powers that be, the so-called elite that play with these demons? But it gets even better. Listen to this. Other apps can create personalized prayers, let you confess your sins, or offer religious advice on life's decisions. So you can go ahead and tell them all the bad things you're doing, and you don't think it's going to go back to a certain people. Come on. Stop. And it's just going to go back and feed the beast once the digital ID rolls around. All that bad information you were telling your chatbot is now going to be stored in your digital ID. So when you go for anything, a job, even if they're still around, I don't know if jobs are still going to be around in the future, a loan or so forth, they'll look at your digital ID and say, well, you confessed to your chatbot that you did such and such. I don't think you're the right person. The Text with Jesus app allows users to embark on a spiritual journey and engage in enlightening conversations with Jesus Christ, according to the app's website. The app also gives users the option to talk with other biblical characters, including Mary, Joseph, Judas, and even Satan. If you're a Christian, what are you going to say to Satan as you're texting back and forth? Why do you do the things you do? You better stop it, mister, or I'm going to take off my belt. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I do see people using these apps because, again, like I said in my other video on Seconds of Horror, we live in an idiocracy society. Idiocracy, Black Mirror, Twilight Zone, They Live. They are all documentaries. They're all real. Oh, and get this. You know how in a lot of my videos that talk about these pastors when it comes to money, it's all about money at the end of the day? Well, a San Jose, California-based megachurch pastor, Ron Carpenter, has even created an AI app promising one-on-one personalized interactions with a bot version of him. So it's not the real guy, but a bot version of him for $49 per month. Please, please. I wouldn't even pay 49 cents to talk to this man one-on-one. Better yet, you couldn't even pay me $49 to talk to this man one-on-one. And if you think I'm being a little bit too much here, here is the advisor to the ex-World Economic Forum chairman, Klaus Schwab, Yuval Harari, talking about how AI can add to the Bible.
The third thing about AI that everybody needs to know, it's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. You know, the printing press, radio, television, they broadcast, they spread the ideas created by the human brain, by the human mind. They cannot create a new idea. You know, Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas, can even write a new Bible. We, you know, throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence, by a non-human entity. Every religion claims our book, all the other books of the other religions, they humans wrote them. But our book, no. It came from some superhuman intelligence. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. That just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years.
So he said that back in 2023, and yet here we are. And even if you're not religious, even if you're not a Christian, the Christians and the non-Christians alike should both agree this is bad. And the thing is, too, you have to remember it's not just Christianity, but also other religions. Like, for example, they also have AI monks over in Japan.
This is Mindar, Japan's real-life robot monk, and it's here to teach us humans about enlightenment. Mindar was built in 2019 by Kodaji Temple and the University of Osaka at a cost of about $1 million. And it was designed to preach the Buddhist Heart Sutra, a text about the emptiness of all things. A metal robot teaching us about emptiness. That's a bit ironic. The temple's priests hoped that it would inspire younger generations who no longer visit temples. Because in Japan, religion is fading. So they asked themselves, if people won't come to the monks, maybe the monks should come to them through technology. It's a poetic idea. I mean, a robot teaching that form is emptiness. But here's where things get a bit eerie. Mindar doesn't just chant scriptures. It makes eye contact, gestures gracefully, and even explains Buddhist philosophy. It's not currently AI autonomous, which means Mindar is preloaded with all these scriptures, and it can't actually engage in open dialogue with the people. So what's the point? To me, it just sounds like lazy preaching, because aren't we taking out the soul of a sermon by getting a robot to recite it? Visitors say they feel calm, even emotional after watching Mindar. But others, they are unsettled. Because behind its soft-spoken wisdom lies a deeper question. Is this truly a monk or a mirror of what humanity is becoming? Automate everything, including spirituality. But I like to think of it this way. Robots don't actually have the credibility that humans have. A robot priest cannot go on a pilgrimage or engage in celibacy. Things that inspire trust in other humans. Mindar can't meditate, can't feel compassion, and definitely cannot suffer. So how is it gonna teach us humans to transcend suffering? I think it still has a long way to go. But maybe this is something to think about if you're ever afraid that AI might replace your job. What are jobs that require the credibility of a human touch? I just found this very interesting and I decided to share this, but yeah, let me know your thoughts.
Why would you want to build an AI that's smarter than humans? In Silicon Valley, they're calling this super intelligence, but does anybody really want this? I mean, you could say AI is going to cure diseases, or AI is going to help strengthen our national security. And yeah, like, I want those things too. But why couldn't we just build an AI tool to help cure diseases, or build an AI tool to help with national security? Why does it have to all be one big product that does everything? And the answer is, of course, that's what will make more money. They want to build the product that'll imitate a person, make you feel like it's your friend or your lover, seduce your turn us all into slop junkies and make it hard to tell what's true or what's false and undermine democracy and, yeah, give rise to authoritarianism and make gajillions of dollars along the way with the most sophisticated algorithmically placed advertising ever. Is that what we want? Because that's what these big tech companies are talking about when they talk about building super intelligence. So I've just signed this petition called a statement on super intelligence that's signed by hundreds of people that are way smarter than I am about this stuff. But it says basically this: let's not build super intelligence until, number one, we can prove it's safe, and number two, the public actually wants it.
And that's what I would love to know. How many out there in the public would like this stuff to slow down, and how many out there do not want this altogether versus those that do? And does it even matter at this point? So some interesting news came out back on October 21st, and they're saying that mosquitoes are now found in different parts of the world that they've never been in before. For example, they're now found in Iceland, and they are blaming the global warming issue. Continue to read this article from The Guardian, which was published on October 21st. It says, three specimens discovered in what was previously one of the few places in the world without the insects. But again, it's not just Iceland, it's other parts of the world too. Continue to read the article. It says, as the planet warms, more species of mosquito have been found across the globe. In the United Kingdom, eggs of the Egyptian mosquito were found this year, and the Asian tiger mosquito has been discovered in Kent. These are invasive species that can spread tropical disease, such as dengue, chikungunya, and the Zika virus. So again, disease-carrying mosquitoes now found in different parts of the world they've never been in before, and they want us to blame the climate. And I guess, right? But then we remember there are individuals out there with real agendas that have been spreading around GMO mosquitoes. Now, they said that these GMO mosquitoes do not bite, but for whatever reason, since the gated one had released these GMO mosquitoes that do not bite, there was a suspicious rise of malaria in the United States, in the same exact locations that he spread these mosquitoes around. The fact checkers, they came out of their toilets and sewers they reside in and said, no, it can't be from him because he loves us. And that was that. But here's something interesting. It's not just mosquitoes, but there's another insect that's also being seen in different parts of the country and the world they've never been seen in before. And if you're bitten by one, it has a very deadly consequence. And it seems to fulfill a certain agenda. And that insect is the Lone Star tick. It was only seen in Texas. That's why it's called the Lone Star tick. Then it was limited to the southeastern United States. And now it has spread as far north as Maine and as far west as Colorado. And of course, again, they're blaming the climate. And if you're bitten by the tick, you're not just allergic to red meat, but all types of animal products, those that contain beef, pork, lamb, venison, rabbit, and in some cases, dairy and gelatin. They said you can continue eating chicken and fish, but with how bird flu is spreading across chickens, it probably will be just limited to fish for right now until they fully release those lab-grown fish. And now there are articles coming out that sound like they're designed to scare people from eating meat, because who wants to be in the middle of eating something only to find out they're having an allergic reaction? So apparently, reading this article from NJ.com, which was published on November 13th, a 47-year-old unnamed New Jersey man passed away suddenly after eating a hamburger while camping with his family in the summer of 2024. He ate the burger and then suddenly he started to vomit and then he fell and passed away. His wife had an examination done, and the researchers came back and said that, yes, it was alpha-gal syndrome. And I just feel like we're going to hear more and more of these stories as these ticks present themselves in other parts of the country and ultimately other parts of the world, with the ultimate goal of scaring away people from eating meat. This in turn allowing them to promote their lab-grown meat, and they'll go on to say, well, now you can enjoy meat again because the meat has been modified, so the alpha-gal algae will not impact you. And ultimately, once again, we'll see a push to do away with farms and the farm life. And if you think it sounds crazy, they're creating these GMO ticks to spread AGS, and they're being spread in different parts of the country. Just take a look at this article that was published on July 22nd by two individuals from the University of Michigan. And it goes on to say, the bite of the Lone Star tick spreads alpha-gal syndrome, a condition whose only effect is the creation of a severe, but non-fatal, well, now it is, red meat algae, Public health departments warn against Lone Star ticks and AGS, and scientists are working to develop an inoculation to AGS. Herein, we argue that if eating meat is morally impermissible, then efforts to prevent the spread of tick-borne AGS are also morally impermissible. So these scientists from Michigan are saying that it's morally wrong to stop the spread of AGS, and it goes on to say that after explaining these symptoms of AGS and how they are transmitted via ticks, we argue that tick-borne AGS is a moral bioenhancer if and when it motivates people to stop eating meat. We then defend what we call the convergence argument. If Xing prevents the world from becoming a significantly worse place, doesn't violate anyone's rights, which it does, and promotes virtuous action or character, then Xing is strongly pro-tanto obligatory. Promoting tick-borne AGS satisfies each of these conditions. Therefore, promoting tick-borne AGS is strongly pro-tanto obligatory. It is presently feasible to genetically edit the disease-carrying capacity of ticks, again, GMO ticks carrying AGS. If this practice can be applied to ticks carrying AGS, then promoting the proliferation of tick-borne AGS is morally obligatory. So we have scientists promoting the idea of creating GMO ticks that carry AGS to stop people from eating meat. And now, as quote-unquote coincidence may have it, we are now seeing an explosion of these Lone Star ticks now being seen in locations of the country and other countries that they have never been seen before.
Okay, so I'm begging you, please tell me that you can see through this right here, that you can see through this distraction, this whole Apple Pocket for $229, which it's just a piece a fabric that you carry your phone that is literally being plastered everywhere online. I mean, as you can see right here, you have every news media outlet talking about this, using this story as a smokescreen to try to distract you from something else that Apple is doing.
Some technology that most of us already use to get through the airport faster. Apple calls it digital ID for your driver's license and passport, coming soon to an airport near you.
Yeah, so talk about convenient timing. You're going to tell me that it's just a giant coincidence that this news story right here is being released where Apple is coming out with their digital ID in the US at the same time that we have this release of an Apple Pocket, which on face value is ridiculous, and it sparks a lot of, you know, content for people to talk about, and just the prime example of a distraction. Try to distract the masses away from this and how absolutely horrifying this actually is. But I know people won't really see it, especially those in the world, because they will just, you know, it's that incremental step process, just one brick at a time, that road being paved to the bottomless pit, to the road to hell is paved with good intentions, because they will sell you with this as something good, you know. It's going to be convenient for you. It's convenience. You can not have to worry about, you know, waiting longer. You don't have to worry about carrying a physical passport. You can have your passport on your phone for a digital wallet with a digital ID. It's good for you guys. It's really good for you. That's how they're going to sell it. But ultimately, it is a way of more surveillance, less privacy, and taking away your freedoms and liberties, creating a surveillance state or surveillance world system that completely controls you. That is what this ultimately will lead to. They will sell it to you as something good. It's the Hegelian dialectic, like I've said before in my videos, the problem, reaction, solution. There's a problem, you wait for reaction, here's the solution. So what's going to be the solution to all these issues? Well, the solution will be digital IDs to make sure that you're truly a citizen. And then now you're going to be able to use your, you know, digital currency with that digital ID. It's going to be a digital world. Again, this bio-digital convergence, mixing man with machine, mixing your body with this technology realm. That's what they are pushing for. But my main point of this video right here is to just point out to you guys how they use distractions. Everywhere in the media, there is always a distraction, and they want you looking over here while something else is going on over here. That's their strategy, just 101 strategy of getting things, you know, through or trying to implant ideas or whatever. They want you to be distracted.
That great video comes from the Shep for the King. And this is a prime example of a distraction. You announce something, the people do not like it, but you have to go along with the agenda, the digital ID. And then you announce something else that sounds crazy, but you play it safe, but you know people are going to latch onto it. And this is what they did.
Something very important is happening right now. This will be a very quick video. It's very important you're aware of this. Why is BlackRock right now selling off massive amounts of Bitcoin and Ethereum? This has actually been ongoing for a few days and planned at least since the 6th of this month. Sorry, the 6th of October, they're making massive deposits. So if they're aware of something big coming, are you aware of it? Showing that a massive sell-off was coming. And I guarantee if you look a little bit harder, we'll see BlackRock, Vanguard, Northern Trust, State Street, all of them. What started off as a couple Bitcoin has ended up $1 billion so far. A billion in 6 hours and hundreds of millions before that. Long story short, when these massive behemoth companies are moving around and selling things all at the same time in massive amounts, that means that they know something's coming because they work, move, and shake with all the people that make things happen, especially when it comes to the economy and everything else. This is not financial advice, but what it is recognition of the companies that rule the entire world. Maybe they know something's coming.
That video came from Moon Henry, and that's the thing about BlackRock. Their hands are in everything and anything, and they can do a massive rug pull at any moment and pretty much wreck the economy, and they will still benefit. But at the end of the day, thank you so much for watching. If you like this channel and you want to see more, please subscribe. If you're already subscribed, please like. Because any engagement does help the channel grow. Once again, thank you so much for your support.